The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I have seen the Lord. May I speak in the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Few saints have generated so much intrigue as Mary Magdalene. In Western art and popular imagination, she has been portrayed in a number of ways, positively as a great contemplative, an apostle, and the most beloved of Christ's followers, negatively as a sinner, as a fallen woman, a prostitute, and a temptress. I'd like to tell you that these negative portrayals are recent products of popular culture, Dan Brown, Andrew Lloyd Webber, Martin Scorsese, and so on, but they go back a long way. As early as the 6th century, Pope Gregory the Great conflated Mary Magdalene's identity with two other women in Scripture, Mary of Bethany, sister of Martha, and the unnamed sinful woman who anoints Jesus' feet in the Gospel of Luke. She became an archetypal, repentant sinner with long hair, and this depiction fixed her identity for centuries. In recent years, this negative depiction of Mary Magdalene has rightly been questioned. The most recent film about her, which came out last year, entitled Mary Magdalene, attempts to challenge centuries of misrepresentation and negative speculation about her life and character, portraying her as an intelligent, independent, resourceful woman who defies the expectation that she will enter into an arranged marriage and chooses instead to follow Jesus, becoming his closest follower. The truth is that we can only speculate about the life of a woman who lived so many years ago in a small corner of the Middle East, who wrote nothing down, and whose testimony as a woman would have been regarded as dubious and unimportant. With that in mind, it's remarkable that we know as much as we do about Mary Magdalene. And in thinking about her this morning, I have tried to set aside the images I have inherited through art, literature, film, and so on, and focus simply on what Scripture has to say about her. The Bible tells us nothing about Mary Magdalene's appearance. It tells us nothing about the length of her hair, or her occupation, or her private life. But the Bible does give Mary a unique place among Jesus' followers. She is mentioned in all four Gospels, and always with the specific title Mary of Magdala, to distinguish her from other Marys and other female followers of Christ. Magdala was a city by the Sea of Galilee, and we are told that Mary was healed by Jesus before accompanying him during his ministry. Along with some other women, she supported Jesus' ministry with her own resources, which implies that she was wealthy. Along with some other women, she is mentioned by name as staying beside the cross during the crucifixion. She was the first person to discover the empty tomb on Easter morning and was privileged, as we just heard, with the first appearance of the risen Lord, who sent her to bring the good news of the resurrection to the other disciples. This commission has earned her the title Apostle to the Apostles. Focusing on Mary Magdalene in Scripture, in particular the readings we've heard this morning, we discover three qualities that mark her out as a great saint: her longing for God, her love of God, and her ability to lead others to God. Longing, loving, and leading. Humanity's longing for God is expressed poetically in the reading from Song of Solomon. I will seek him whom my soul loves. I held him and would not let him go. We are all creatures of desire, and God, our Creator, has planted in all of us a desire to know the one who is the source and foundation of all things. We learn that Mary Magdalene's desire for God in Christ was so deep and so powerful that she stayed and waited by the tomb, weeping and watching, even though Peter and John had gone home. She carried on seeking him whom my soul loves, even in the face of fear and doubt. She sought him and found him not, but her longing was so strong that she stayed and she waited. Gregory the Great did notice this about Mary. He writes about Mary's longing for God as a model of perseverance. When the other disciples had left, Mary stayed. She stayed at the cross, she stayed at the tomb, she stayed in the garden and waited. Mary's perseverance, her staying power, is her great virtue. Her ability not to give up praying, even when things seemed hopeless and everybody else had left. And this virtue of perseverance comes from her deep longing and yearning for God. I will seek him whom my soul loves. As well as Mary's longing for God, we discover her deep love for God, which is the source of her longing. This deep love causes her to look again into the empty tomb, to look again at this dark, despairing situation. I think Mary's ability to look again in this encounter is deeply profound. In her first look at the empty tomb, she sees things from what you might call a human point of view, a perspective where death is the only ultimate horizon. At her second look, she sees things from God's perspective, a perspective in which there are no dead ends, where all things are made new, where we are all given a new capacity for life and for love. We learn then of Mary's longing for God and her love for God, which gives her the perseverance to wait to encounter him whom my soul loves. Mary's moving encounter with Jesus in the garden is one in which she is named, called, and sent by Jesus to go and share the good news of his resurrection, to lead others to Christ. It is not just the fact that Mary is a woman which makes her leadership so poignant. It is the fact that Jesus calls her by name. When Jesus calls her woman, a polite general term, the equivalent of madam, Mary does not recognize him. But when he calls her Mary, she recognizes him. And she is recognized personally by God in Christ. The most incredible truth of Christianity revealed in this encounter is that God does not know us in some general, impersonal way, but knows each one of us personally and calls us all individually with our unique personalities and gifts to be witnesses to the hope of new life in Christ. My arrival in this parish has prompted discussion about the fact that I am the first female vicar here. But we learn from Mary Magdalene that identity statements about her gender are far less important than what she did and who she was. She is not woman, she is Mary. It's a shame that the church has so often viewed Mary Magdalene from a human point of view, focusing on her appearance or gossiping about her private life or speculating about her sinfulness. We too need to look again and see things from God's point of view. She is Mary, the one who was sent to share the good news, "I have seen the Lord." And nobody believed her at first, by the way. So let us remember her today, not in speculation or intrigue, but in thanksgiving, that she had the perseverance to wait at the empty tomb and receive the good news that we are all commissioned to share. I have seen the Lord. Do you believe her?